NFL Draft Extravaganza. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
NFL Draft coverage presented by Four Peaks.
Yep, we're here at Nashville, hour number four on this Thursday, leading you up to the first pick in the NFL Draft. And complete first-round coverage tonight on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Burns and Gambo will anchor it. They'll be joined by Ron Wolfley. Max Starks out at Four Peaks in Tempe. Great location. I'm glad we're in Nashville, but they're in the second-best location for the draft today.
Oh, without a doubt.
Four Peaks. We love Four Peaks.
Especially if they have some day-fresh beer there.
That's true, too. We got to experience that at one of our remotes. So.
And I got to tell you something. We just had the coolest thing happen, at least I did. Two young kids came here, and they were with some of those Cardinal fans who dropped by, and it was a little boy and his sister. They might have been, what, how old would you say they were, seven? Eight?
I don't know. I completely ignored them.
You had to.
There was kids here?
You were doing a live read, and they came right up to us, and they were just adorable. And I asked the little girl, I said, what are you doing here? She's like, we're on an RV trip. And I said, an RV trip? Is that really cool? She's, sometimes. Her and her brother started arguing about where they're from. We're from Chandler. No, we're from Gilbert. No, we're in Chandler. No, we're in Gilbert.
I get those two towns mixed up, too.
Right, but it was just so adorable. I just, whatever.
Good impression, by the way.
I loved it. It was great.
Can I ask?
You missed the whole thing.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
Why are those kids not in school?
Because they're on an RV trip, Benny. Let's go to Nashville.
There's a new leader in the obscure jersey competition. I saw somebody wearing a Cleveland Browns jersey for Lou the Toe Grozer.
Lou Grozer. Did you really?
I will give you $1 out of my pocket right now, if I have one. if you can name what... He was a kicker.
Well, you should after how often I went in my pocket last night. That's a joke.
Yeah.
You paid for dinner.
I buy
That's
dinner,
a joke.
And you buy a drink. Oh, you got the cab, too.
And the bologna sandwich, but who's counting? That was a joke. You're very generous.
How did I refer to the bologna sandwich?
You said it was outstanding?
And the least expensive food item in all of Nashville.
That's right.
Hey, I'm a cheap date.
Right.
What do you want?
That's right. That's right. Okay,
now, that was recommended by Zach Lind, right?
Yes.
And you took pictures of it.
Well, I tweeted out pictures of it last night, and people were like, that looks like the sandwich they served at the Fire Festival. No, it wasn't. Oh, contraire.
Did somebody, good.
Absolutely.
Listen, I really appreciate Zach. I love drummers. I've been on record as saying that. I think he's an extremely smart sports fan. That sandwich is not life-changing.
It changed my life.
Oh, did it?
I wasn't hungry after I ate it.
Yeah, okay.
You said it needed more bologna?
He did, yeah. Yep.
Right. A little bit more bologna. It was tasty, though.
Still no Nashville hot chicken for you guys.
Not yet. Although we're running out of time. Cause
we are.
We're not going to hit dinner tonight. We're going to be working throughout the draft. So today's a really long day. It's a great day. It's a really long day.
Oh,
but
hey,
I was going to ask you, I'll give you $1 out of my pocket if you can tell me what number Lou Groza wore that was on this jersey.
Number six?
No.
That was just a wild guess.
No dollar for you. Number 76.
Was it really?
As a kicker.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hall of Famer. 9-time Pro Bowler, 4-time All-Pro, 4-time NFL champ, 4-time AAFC champ. I'm on his Pro Football Reference.
Are you really?
All right, so we are
Lou
getting...
Lou Piniella, Lou Monaco.
Lou Maloney.
Lou Maloney, Lou the Toe Grozer. Well, there's got to be some other...
Louis
things.
De Palma.
Yeah. Lou Brock.
Lou Williams.
Lou Williams.
Skip to my Lou.
Oh boy, we have reached peak absurdity.
We have. We are live in Nashville at the NFL Experience. We'll be here today and tomorrow, so we'll have a lot of post reaction to the first round tonight. And in the last hour of the show, we've had some nuggets drop. Steve Wyche, who's been embedded with the Cardinals all week, he definitively said nobody is moving up to the number one pick. To trade with the Arizona Cardinals. So it will be the Cardinals making the pick. To me, if the ploy has been, or the tact has been by the Cardinals this whole time, all right, we're gonna display some interest with Kyler Murray. We like him as a prospect. We also like Josh Rosen. But somebody might fall completely head over heels in love with Kyler Murray. Maybe we can attract somebody to jump up and make this trade with us.
You know, I was saying that all the way back in Indianapolis.
And I wanted that to be the case. And as I sit here and we're 4 hours away from the beginning of the draft right now, I still want that to be the case. However, if it's the Cardinals making the pick at number one tonight with no trade in the future, I don't know if that pick is Kyler Murray anymore. I really don't.
I can't believe so. You, this is funny. You're like the money in you're like the odds in Vegas. You're like a tire losing all of its pressure slowly.
Yes, those things.
Well,
you're not on board with me?
No, Vinny. This is listen. I'm telling you. I'm thinking it's about time that we have to unplug this and go cover a draft because I'm starting to go back the other way now, and these mental gymnastics are driving me nuts. I only have so much headspace, man. And I'm starting to think now that they are going to take Kyler Murray. Why? I don't know. I do not know. It's like Adam Schefter said. It's every time you think you know the Cardinals are going to go with Kyler Murray, something, but there really seems to be a strong wave of strong reporting slash opinion that, Quinnen Williams is going to be the guy. That, could you imagine that? Could you imagine if we go Quinnen Williams 1, Nick Bosa 2, and the Raiders don't have to do anything to get Kyler Murray? What if the Raiders don't have to do anything to get Kyler Murray and don't take Kyler Murray?
Well, the team that in the top four that's been rumored the most in this, you know, months-long process leading up to this point that is deemed likely to move out of that spot is the Jets at 3.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So that somebody could jump up to 3, maybe, and create some havoc if nobody's willing to move up to number 1.
Do you know what I think I'm hearing? I'll tell you what I think I'm hearing. I think I'm hearing in February and in March, it was really easy to say the NFL has had an enlightenment. There's a revolution coming. 5-10-1/8, good enough by me. And I think now that we're here on draft day, I think NFL teams are getting pulled back into their safety comfort zone and saying, nope, that's too risky for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the Cardinals, about an hour and 10 minutes ago, tweeted out mock drafts with a talking head kind of emoji several times. And then they followed it up by saying us, and it's a gif of Damian Lillard waving
right
after eliminating
the Oklahoma
City Thunder.
That's good.
You take any clues from that? The first comment on it, by the way, is something that you said. A woman by the name of Brooke responded and said, we should stop playing around because we literally won 3 games
last
year.
Yeah, listen, and I'm trying to be respectful about this, but it's honest to God truth. It really, really is. Oh, look at this. Now, this is old school. Larry Fitzgerald pit jersey. I'm digging this.
That's cool.
Wait, and he got thrown out of the picture. Okay. Thank you, fellas.
Now there's an explanation. He's like, hey, it's a Fitz jersey.
I know this just makes for great radio, but hey.
Let me ask for your opinion on this.
Yeah.
If Steve Wilks was still the coach of the Cardinals, where do you think Kyler Murray would be projected in mock drafts right now? Would he even be top 10, top 15?
That's a good question. That's a really, really good question. Probably not.
Probably 4?
Yeah.
You think 4? Not.
If the Raiders were still owners of the 4th pick.
Do you think that without all this hype that the Cardinals and Kingsbury sort of created, that he would be ahead of Haskins?
Because
we've had people even, you know, Charles Davis even this week said that he still has Haskins ahead of Murray.
Yeah, but I don't think everybody's, you know, in that camp. That's the interesting thing, and it's exacerbated by Kyler Murray's presence in this draft, is that he's such a unique prospect that a lot of teams have him as the number one quarterback. We asked Kurt Warner. He's got Kyler Murray as the number one quarterback. Not everybody feels that way. And somebody on today's show brought up the point, there's teams that can't get over the height issue that have never considered Kyler Murray in this whole process.
This is what I'm putting all together today here. Steve Wyche said it, and he said it with this certainty that you can tell Steve Wyche has talked to a number of NFL teams who have said, I would touch a 5'10" quarterback. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. He's going to get killed. You heard Kurt Warner say it, that, look, Kyler Murray is probably the best quarterback here, but height's an issue with me.
Here are those Steve Wyche cuts again. First on how no one's going to trade up to number one.
Well, no one's coming up to number one for the pick. Cardinals are going to have that pick. There's no team that's going to give up the freight it takes to get to number one. I've talked to several teams, heck, over the past few weeks, but especially the past couple of days. Those trade conversations with Josh Rosen, they have just not happened on a serious front over the past two or three days. So, you know, you don't know what necessarily is going to happen there. Things could happen during the draft. They could happen right before the draft. The Cardinals are not going to get what they want if they're holding out for a first-round pick. Most people I speak to say they'd be fortunate to get a back-end two or maybe even a third-round pick.
So that's the value for Josh Rosen. And then here's
– right.
I'm sorry. Then here's him on the value for Kyler Murray and if anyone would trade up for him.
No. I mean, who are they coming up for? Kyler Murray? I can tell you this point blank, and speaking to several teams, the only team that likes Kyler Murray as much as the Arizona Cardinals is the Arizona Cardinals.
Really?
With the top pick. Yeah, I mean, there are teams right now who can't get over the height issue. There are teams like, no, we want a bigger quarterback. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals, you know, look, if Kyler Murray were to fall, maybe the Dolphins would trade up to a 10 or something like that to get him, but they're not giving up the draft capital to come up to number one. So that's not going to happen.
So no value for Rosen, no value for Murray.
Wow.
Yeah, look.
That kind of backfired,
right.
Huh?
This cannot be right. That kind of backfired. Here we are. We've done this exercise, and everything that I talked about in Indianapolis and hoped for came true. Kyler Murray ascended to what appeared to be the number one pick, and it feels like it's all collapsing.
I give you all the credit. You're the first one that said it. Cardinals should take Kyler Murray at number one. You created this whole thing.
It's all my fault, man.
I mean, it's not going to come to fruition, and they're not going to benefit from any of your hard work.
Right.
But still.
Right. Neither am I, but that's A.
Yeah, which is the crazy thing, because, again, in the mock drafts, you know, 19 or 20 mock drafts were added to the mock draft tracker today before we went on the air, and they all said Kyler Murray number one. And a lot of them were definitive about it.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. It was like week after week after week, we would reference mock draft after mock draft after mock draft. Kyler Murray, number one. Number one. And where have they all gone? I'm telling you, this is, to me.
They haven't really gone anywhere. That's the thing is, it's looking like less than 4 hours away from the pick.
Right.
It's looking like 95% of the people who do mock drafts won't even get the number one pick right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the way I feel.
Yeah,
right,
that's exactly right.
Now, of course, the Cardinals will about face and draft Kyler Murray and make me look stupid.
And maybe that's the logical conclusion to all of this, that this story has to go full circle to where we all go, oh man, this ain't going to happen, and then it does happen. But I'm telling you, two things here that I think are inviolate. In that you just cannot get past. Number one, Cliff Kingsbury, rookie head coach, with assistants that were given to him. He's got to have something to show he's special. Would taking Josh Rosen to another level do it? Yes. But would pairing him with Kyler Murray create a different synergy? Without a doubt. Now, if you believe in that, then that to me is why Kyler Murray, aside from the fact that I think Kyler Murray's got elite level release, elite level footwork, all that stuff. Okay. Size is certainly an issue. Can you work around it? I believe you can. But I think this is shaping up. This whole draft is going to shape up to be such a indictment of the NFL and their preconceived notions that you got to be 6'2 or above to be a quarterback, or at least to be a first-round quarterback. And it's just like the NFL. It's just like when teams will stretch to get guys and believe in guys you never should believe in. This quarterback from Duke, okay? I spent minutes of my life I cannot get back watching extensive video on him, and I'm like, this dude's okay. He's kind of got a spaghetti arm, but I'm sure he's smart. And I'm sure his receivers will be better than the pros, but you're going to get teams that will make mistakes willingly on prototypical quarterbacks, and they won't be willing to do so with Kyler Murray. Why? Because this league, at the end of the day, has no job security for people who really want to keep their jobs, and it becomes, the NFL becomes CYA.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't know if they're willing to make mistakes on more prototypical quarterbacks, but it's easier to write off.
A lot easier to write off. Yeah. Hey, look, Guy checked all the boxes. See how big he is in the pocket?
I mean, once upon a time, the Seattle Seahawks invested a third-round pick in Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Had that not worked out, they'd be raked over the coals for it.
That's right.
It worked out.
And could you imagine, never in a million years back in that era, which wasn't that long ago, you'd never draft Russell Wilson one overall. That wasn't going to happen. So I think we've all done this dance that, hey, we've all learned things. We've all grown. We've all evolved. We've seen Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. And, yes, quarterbacks who are under 6 feet tall, they can play in the NFL. And now that the time's here, now that the witching hour has arrived, Vinny, you almost feel it. You almost feel the fear winning.
But Russell Wilson, I mean, he's kind of a linchpin in all of this because he's one of the comps. And I boil this whole Kyler Murray discussion at number one for the Arizona Cardinals. Yes, the Cliff Kingsbury influence is strong. The fact that they won three games is strong. But this boils down to me to three quarterbacks. Those quarterbacks are Baker Mayfield,
yep,
Patrick Mahomes, and Russell Wilson. Baker Mayfield, because undersized quarterback, drafted number one overall, not only improved the team, but has energized a fan base.
Right.
With style of play and personality. Patrick Mahomes, because Cliff Kingsbury is at least partially responsible. He was blessed. I mean, the gods came down and touched his right arm and turned it into a gift.
Yeah.
But Cliff Kingsbury groomed him at least partially to be what he is today. And Russell Wilson, because that's the size comp. People want to look at a guy who's come into the league at this size and had any kind of success. Russell Wilson's the guy. It's an amalgam of those three quarterbacks coming together. When you picture it that way, it sounds like a can't-miss, no-brainer. But I'm still not convinced it is.
And I've said this a few times. I don't know if you vibe on this or not. I've made the case of why Kyler Murray would be so empowering for Cliff Kingsbury. But as a corollary, for Kyler Murray to come into a league full of such doubt that he can play, to go to a guy who has known him forever and has recruited him forever and has loved him forever, I can't imagine what that would do for Kyler Murray's comfort zone. And like you said, and I think you're right about this, that if you gave Kyler Murray open enrollment, where you want to go, he'd pick Arizona. And so I think that's when I talk about the synergy, why it just makes all sorts of sense to me. What do you think? How do you think Josh Rosen is spending the NFL draft? You think that 10 minutes?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be affected by those 10 minutes, quite honestly. I think he's going to hear something secondhand. Or somebody's going to give him a call and say, hey, you know what, Josh? Thanks for being a pro through all of this. You're our guy moving forward.
And you do that when? Right before the pick?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
That's assuming they haven't already told him that.
No.
That this whole time.
No, because it's you would not have this thing as airtight as it's been. If, in my opinion, if that was the case. The bigger story, and you're right, we haven't hit it enough, and I think we better get on this at some point in time, is this Patrick Peterson deal. Because what if Charles Robinson is right? What if Patrick Peterson is dealt tonight for draft capital?
He was labeled as the most likely veteran to be moved tonight.
I mean, I can't even imagine what you would get in return for Patrick
Peterson. What would you ask for there? Because we just saw Frank Clark traded for a first and a second.
I'd want a one, a two, and a one next year.
Wow.
It's Patrick Peterson. You know?
How old's Pat P?
I don't know.
He's got to be close to 30, correct?
Yeah, that's going to work a little against him, but he's such a phenomenal natural athlete.
Yeah, there's no doubting that. But have the Cardinals...
He's 28.
This is he only 28?
Okay.
Wow.
All right. So, yeah. So, he's still... That's.
But this is where the timing... And it's never a good thing when you're the captain of your defense and your perennial Pro Bowler comes out and says... or intimates that he's unhappy twice in a matter of 6 months, 7 months, or whatever it's been. But the timing of this is really working against the Cardinals. I mean, here they are getting ready for a draft in which they have the top overall pick. And then this Patrick Peterson fire starts burning. There's only so many fires you can put out.
Yeah.
Have the Arizona Cardinals, with Patrick Peterson absent from voluntary workouts, have they had enough time to diagnose and try to change what's going on with Patrick Peterson? Probably not to the point where they're sufficiently satisfied to trade him without working it out. I don't know if I would agree with the Charles Robinson assessment that he's the most likely veteran to be drafted, unless the Cardinals just got wind of it, had a conversation with Patrick Peterson, and threw their arms up and said, you know, it's time. Which I don't know if that could have happened in that amount of time.
I got a great tweet back to me from my question of where's Josh Rosen tonight. I think Josh Rosen is in the war room. He's the mastermind. Now, that would be a way to empower him, wouldn't it? Call him and say, listen, Josh, we got a surprise for you. We'd like you to be at the facility at about 4:45 Phoenix time. Come sit with us in the war room. Yeah. Watch how this works, because you're our guy.
Wear a Cardinals polo, would you?
Right, right.
Join Burns and Gambo along with Wolf and Max Starks today from Four Peaks Brewing Company in Tempe for the Arizona Sports Draft Party. Party kicks off at 2, and the guys will take you through the entire first round of the draft. Enjoy food and drink specials courtesy of Four Peaks all night long. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details. We'll continue to diagnose possibilities, the latest rumors, and all of it. Next, Gambo is going to join us from Phoenix, or actually from Four Peaks in Tempe. Straight ahead, Bickley and Murata live from Nashville, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Sanderson Ford poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. Right now, is Josh Rosen an Arizona Cardinal on Friday morning? Yay or nay?
Yay or nay?
What do you say, Vic?
Man, I feel like I've answered this question 15,000 times.
Well, I'll make it 15,001. Help a brother out.
No.
You say no?
I'm just waffling now. I'm windsocking it all the way 80, now.
82% of the respondents said yes.
Wow.
You will be. Wow. That is an overwhelming number. 18% said no. You can cast your vote. It's today's Sanderson Ford poll question right now on the front page of ArizonaSports.com.
This is the NFL Draft Extravaganza.
Presented by Four Peaks.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Oh, we're ready. We've been ready. We're live in Nashville, Bickley and Murata, getting ready to kick things off over to Four Peaks Brewing Company in Tempe. That's where the whole thing will go down tonight on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Dave Burns, Ron Wolfley, Max Starks, and of course, John Gambadoro anchoring things. And Gambo joins us right now through the wonders of technology. Gambo, how are you, man?
Oh, Vinny, how was that bologna sandwich you had?
It was delicious. Needed a little bit more bologna, but it was good.
Always got to ask for the extra meat when you make any type of sandwich. Extra meat. Go extra meat.
The way it worked out well for me, too, is because I picked up the bread first, and my fingers got a little bit greasy. Greasy enough to where I could not open up the mayonnaise packet that they provided.
You were going to put mayonnaise on that thing?
I was going to double down on it, but I was unable to do it, so it was still good. I didn't get the steak that you recommended, though, Gambo.
Oh, yeah, you didn't spend the big dollars, did you?
No, I didn't. Mm. All right, we've kind of, honestly speaking, brain fry at this point of this process as we're hours away from the Cardinals making the pick. So many different possibilities still exist. What are your latest thoughts on this whole crazy thing, Gambo?
First off, I just think that they've done an amazing job of just keeping this under wraps. I mean, a lot of times I really have, you know, by now I've got, even way earlier than this, I've got a great feeling for what they're going to do, at least, eliminating things. I like to eliminate. Can I eliminate Bosa? Can I eliminate Williams? Can I eliminate Murray? Can I eliminate a trade for the pick? Man, they've been real secret. I mean, there's stuff that I have. They do like Bosa over Williams. They think he's a safer pick, but there's also a but with that. But this guy's had two season-ending injuries. The medical concerns are an issue. They could take Quinn and Williams because of the injury concerns over Bosa. They think Bosa's an alpha male. They think he's a dominant football player. But he's had a season-ending groin injury. He's had a season-ending ACL injury. He was last year of high school. So that while Bosa may be the safer pick as far as better player, Quinn and Williams, 1 year where he just flat out died. They love Quinn and Williams. I'm not saying they don't. I think they like Bosa better, and I think if the medical issues show any red flags at all over Bosa, then Quinn and Williams could be the first defensive tackle taken since 1994 overall, number one.
Who was that?
Dan Wilkinson.
Dan Wilkinson.
The last defensive tackle taken number one overall was 1994. So if there's any concerns over Bosa and those two injuries, and you got to factor injuries in, don't you?
I think so. I think that's a big factor in all of this, and I think that's probably one of the only negatives on Nick Bosa's resume.
Yeah, the other thing is just N'Keal Harry. I did check on N'Keal. Have you made him a promise deal? They said not true. They did not promise N'Keal Harry they would take him at 33. They're saying that's not true. I've checked on Patrick Peterson, and they said they have never offered Patrick Peterson up in any trade. They haven't had discussions with one team over Patrick Peterson. I know that they don't like Josh Allen. They think he's very overrated. They're not even fans of the wide receiver Metcalf. As far as wide receivers concerned, they have N'Keal. And I checked, how many wide receivers do you like better than N'Keal Harry? Only two, maybe three. So they do have N'Keal very highly rated. Pro Football Focus had him as the eighth best wide receiver. They've either got him as the third or fourth best wide receiver on their board. I think it's more likely three. So he's definitely in play for them at 33 if they get there. But just with this first pick, guys, they did a great job. They did a great job. We just don't really know which direction they're going to go in.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Gamble, what do you think about the quarterback situation? Do you like Josh Rosen? Do you think that they're smart in not moving off of him, or do you think that that's risky in assuming he is going to be the guy?
I think I'd take the chance to go Murray. I mean, I think I would. I mean, this kid seems to fit that air raid offense, and if you look at the air raid offense, if you study it all, and you look at the concepts of it, it's not a lot on your plate. I mean, it's a small amount of plays that they run over and over and over again, and this kid may be dynamic at it. So I think I would take the result. We saw Josh Rosen play last year.
Yeah.
And it was nothing. And I've went over a lot of game tape, a lot of Josh Rosen's game tape, and he was awful. I mean, he was. But it's his first year, and they didn't have an offensive line. They didn't have a wide receiver. Jared Goff was awful in his first year. He didn't win a football game in his first year. He had a bad coach in Jeff Fisher. He came back, and he was phenomenal. So it's hard to judge, guys. It's just hard to judge because Goff was so bad, and now he's in a Super Bowl, I mean, can Rosen be that? Maybe, maybe not. I just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about the simplification of the offense and the air raid, a few plays that they run over and over again, that would indicate a guy with the intellect of Josh Rosen would have the ability to make that transition. Maybe not as dynamic athletically as Kyler Murray is. But if the Cardinals do go down that road, Kyler Murray at number one, what are you hearing, Gambo, on the Josh Rosen trade front?
The last discussions I had were that there is, they would hold on to him if they don't get a fair deal. If they don't get a fair deal, they'll hold on to him and try to trade like Bradford when Bradford was traded. It's not ideal. It would not be a great situation. I'm sure they're using that as leverage with teams more than anything else. Like, hey, if we do take Kyler Murray, we're not giving him away. But I was told if they go in that direction, like Bradford was traded to Minnesota in August with a team with a need. Up until like a week ago, they were saying they hadn't made him available, but there are six teams that were very interested. I was told that there are six teams that were very interested in trading for Josh Rosen. And I asked, would you take a third rounder? But they can't imagine that they would take a third rounder. They would rather just wait it out and see if there's a team that has a need in August where they might be able to make a trade there.
You may not know the answer to this question. It is hypothetical in nature. I'll admit that. But if they go Murray tonight, they're unable to trade Rosen tonight, which looks doubtful at best, they at least go into OTAs. But if the possibility would exist, Gambo, that nobody's going to come up and meet their demands for Josh Rosen, what they feel is a respectable deal for Josh Rosen. If they are both on the roster when training camp starts, could you foresee any kind of quarterback competition, or is this Kyler Murray's job until they can dump Josh Rosen?
It's Kyler Murray's job until they can dump Josh Rosen. Listen, I've spoken with players on this team about Josh Rosen, and I mean, to be completely honest with you, it's not like, it's not like all these guys love Josh. I was told there's not too many players in the locker room that love playing with him as the quarterback. I think a lot of players are hoping for a change. This is from a player's perspective, So there's not too many players in that locker room that love playing with Josh as the quarterback. Now, I'm sure there are some that do. So this isn't everybody. But I was told I think there's a lot of guys that are hoping for a change there.
Yeah, and you know what it comes down to? Football players respect other football players that go through a grinder, that get the snot beat out of him and keep showing up for work and don't let it affect him. And that's what Josh Rosen did more than anything last year. And I think Gambo's right. I think that's where the respect in the room for Josh Rosen is, not in terms of his ability to lead or be a quarterback. I think it's just what he inherited and how he handled
it. They won three games last year. I would hope nobody wants a quarterback that was able to win three games.
Well, I had one guy tell me, hey, I don't understand, you know, how all you media guys get the thinking that this team loves Rosen. and that was from, you know, so I do think there is a faction of players in that locker room that would like to see Kyler Murray as the quarterback and not Josh Rosen. That maybe they feel like Josh Rosen is more inclined to try to figure out global warming than he is to be a great football player.
Gambo, did you, in the course of your conversations with anybody, did you get any rumors about Patrick Peterson and what he is so upset about?
You know, I did report that he wasn't going to show up, and then found out that I got a list sent to me on the Derek Jeter golf tournament where he was confirmed to play. The only thing that I can tell you is that it's not football related. It's not football related. It's not money related. It was an issue that he was unhappy with the way the Cardinals handled something, and it's more personal than it is like professional. And he was upset with them, and that's where they go. And again, I checked on that, and you know, because I thought maybe they had put him in a trade. No, they never put his name in a trade. They never spoke with one team about trading for Patrick Peterson. But the only thing I'll continue to say is the information that I got from somebody close to the situation is that, hey, it could be a big story if it comes out, but it's more of a personal issue, and it doesn't have anything to do with X's and O's or schemes or money or years on the contract or anything like that.
Yeah, but if it gets to the point where it's something personal or something that was said or the way they handled something and the situation is that fragile, don't you have to consider moving on from him?
I do think you get to a point where, I mean, last year he did, during the season, it was right before the trade deadline that he came up with that trade demand. And now it's right before the NFL draft. Yeah, there's definitely a part of me, and I talked with a couple of those players, okay? I talked with a couple of those players that were part of the Savage group, and they all say the two players I spoke with said, he's unhappy. He is not happy. He needs to go somewhere where he could be happy. So I spoke with two players that are part of that group. Of boys that they're all in, and they both told me, man, he's just not happy, you know. So, and they want what's best for him, and they want him to be happy because they love him and all of that stuff. So I do think that, yeah, maybe it's the frustration of losing, maybe the contract plays a little bit into his unhappiness. I don't think the scrubbing of the photos and all of that stuff was anything more than this personal issue that I'm telling you about. But I do think there's, and I think he goes back and forth. I mean, he was at the golf tournament saying he's happy, he's going to be a Cardinal. And I just think he's a little wishy-washy, guys. He's just going back and forth on his mind with where he wants to go and what he wants to do. And who's guiding him? Is it Deion Sanders? Is it Tyrann Mathieu? You know, because he's probably hearing a bunch of different things from a bunch of different people.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Gambo, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy the festivities tonight. I know you guys will hold it down and do a great job out of Four Peaks.
All right, boys. Talk to you soon.
See you, Gambo.
Talk to you later, Gambo. Along with Dave Burns, Ron Wolfley, Max Starks will anchor all the draft coverage tonight. This will take you through the complete first round on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Good reminder again, download the app if you haven't downloaded it yet. Take it with you. Wherever you are, you'll have access to whatever the Cardinals do and everything else that goes on in the draft. We're back to wrap things up on a very busy first round Thursday,
busy,
live from Nashville, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
It's the NFL Draft Extravaganza, presented by Four Peaks, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
We'll just make this the de facto song of the day.
Song.
Oh. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
If they cut Robin Thicke open, cheese would pour out. Are we on the air?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, one more segment, man.
He's about as cheesy as
Vinny and I have gone an entire four-hour radio program without going to the bathroom or a single beverage between us.
Yeah.
That's apropos of nothing, but I just wanted to share that.
Well, they're probably connected, though. If you had several beverages, you probably would have had.
No, because I have had nothing to drink since my morning coffee, and I really got to go.
do you really have morning coffee? Is that what you call it, a morning coffee?
I very rarely drink coffee not in the morning. Sometimes I'll drink it on my way to a Suns game to give me that little extra jolt.
I
used to be a dessert coffee drinker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I drink it at night all the time, and very, very rarely do I do that now.
Yeah, me neither. There are mornings when I will pound coffee, 4 cups. There are mornings when I just don't even want it. That it's weird. Now, Wolf, to the contrary, will drink coffee with dinner. We saw him the night of a fantasy football draft. He was eating a calzone with a cup of coffee.
Yum.
He's the type of guy that drinks so much coffee, he switches mugs in the middle of his show to get fresh coffee.
He gave us a whole explanation on that, and I didn't quite get it.
I didn't mean either.
Hey, it's Wolf.
All right, so this is the latest.
You need Wolf caffeine.
Yeah, I got that that you just said from Football Talk tweeted this out, but it's quoting ESPN's Wendy Nix on the Cardinals on ESPN. Quote, will they opt for Kyler Murray, the presumptive number one overall pick? Our sources say they sure will. Pro Football Talk added the comment, I don't think anyone from ESPN has reported this. Am I missing something? So here we go again. It's like a game of tennis where you're, as a spectator, your head snapping back and forth watching the ball go.
Yeah, right.
All I know is, thank goodness for this Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury, Josh Rosen stuff. Because otherwise, can you remember a draft with less storylines going in? Less players, you know, rocketing up the board, less players falling. There's been no trade so far, really, except for, you know, the Seahawks getting late.
Yeah, well, we're 3 hours plus, so somebody who's been doing some social media scrubbing is about to release something damning on a prospect. That's going to happen between now and the first pick.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, some sort of blackmail kind of thing. That's kind of part of the draft nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I think we're getting lucky on the weather, Vinny, because moving this thing indoors tonight would be a massive buzzkill. Massive buzzkill. But somebody sent me the extended weather report, and I think we're going to be okay.
Let's go to meteorologist Dan Bickley with today's Doppler radar reading. No?
No.
Dan's five-day forecast?
Being a weather report, it's very, very...
What's the dew point,
it's very,
damn
very
it?
Difficult to point to a blank green screen and look off camera at what you're really pointing at and do it seamlessly.
I couldn't do it.
It's hard.
There's no way. I couldn't do much on TV.
It's harder than it looks.
That's because you got a face for radio,
Murata. Yeah, there we go. So,
we have 3 minutes left.
We'll take the airwaves tomorrow.
Yes.
We will know who the latest member of the Arizona Cardinals is.
I need you guys.
Big reveal. What? Here comes Jared with the question. So, you guys, after all has been said and done.
What are your predictions?
What are your predictions?
With 2.5 minutes left in the show. This is your last chance. I think you will be appearing on the Draft Spectacular. I'm not sure. But what is your prediction? What will the Cardinals do at number one?
Bick, you go first.
Okay, you know what I've said all along? I have believed all along that the Cardinals will not draft Kyler Murray, even though I think they should.
You still feel that way? That they should?
No, I have become so sucked into this vortex of nothingness, of crazy shifting opinions, that my opinion is changing by the minute. Okay? And this is not my fault. It's not anybody's fault for feeling this way. We are being besieged with contradictory information. How does the brain process loads and reams of contradictory information? You just don't. And so I've been... You know, I'm going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So I will say right here and now, the Cardinals are going to shock the world and draft Kyler Murray. But I don't even know. I don't even believe that. So I don't know. I don't know what to predict.
But
man.
I think there's three outcomes tonight which would all shock the world because of the way that they've kept this under wraps.
Yeah.
If they draft Kyler Murray, part of me is going to be shocked for a number of different reasons. If they go Quinnen Williams or Nick Bosa, part of me is going to be shocked for a number of different reasons. That is, if there's any value or virtue in keeping things tight-lipped and close to the vest, again, the Cardinals have put on a masterclass in that. If that leads to any success on the football field, I applaud them even more for it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it does. As we sit here right now in the closing moments of this show,
Yeah.
I think they resist. I think they resist the Kyler Murray temptation, and I think they take Quinn and Williams.
I'm going to and because, Vinny, because I have been so steadfast in my opinion about this, I'm not going to change it with all these shifting winds. I'm going to say the same. They're going to find a reason not to draft Kyler Murray.
We shall see. We're hours away.
Can you believe that we have no more draft speculation to do? You look like a man who's just achieved bliss.
Come over here and give me a damn hug.
Hug it out, man. Vinny! We did it!
I couldn't have done this without you, Big. Thanks to Doug Franz, to Kurt Warner, to Dave McGinnis, Steve Weiss, John Gambadoro. Thanks to all the Cardinals fans who stopped by and allowed Bickley to tweet out their pictures. The draft extravaganza continues from Four Peaks next, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Have a great day. We'll see you.
Keneal Harry?
Keneal Harry, yeah.